We are in the last week of Advent. And I got to start off with a story. So the story over here is that in the build-up to Christmas, my kids have engaged in an Advent calendar. And the Advent calendar is not like the calendar I got when I was younger, which was like these small German chocolates that you'd come every morning to. But Mel, what Mel's got is she's actually got this like wooden box. And it's a house with like this nice scene in the middle. And then it's got all these little drawers around there so you can reuse it. That's how she sold me on it. It's a bit more expensive than the one-use time, but she's like, this is an investment for years. So I was sold on it. Anyway, but what's been very cool to see is every morning my kids get out of bed and come down to the kitchen and open the next drawer. 1, 2, 3, 4. And as they get closer to Christmas, what it's doing is that it's building this anticipation. This week, Evan was struggling to get up in the morning because he was sleeping. Anyway, we let him sleep in. Victoria was down, and we were making breakfast. And she said, she starts speaking to us like an adult. I said to Mel, like, when does all of a sudden the six-year-old sound as though she's an adult? So she comes to us to try and relate to us, and she said, guys, if you have a problem waking up Evan, all you have to do is walk in and say there's another drawer to open, and it gets him out of bed because he comes down the stairs, and inside there, you know, we put in Skittles, or we've put in Smarties, or whatever that may be. But the fact is that it's not about the drawer, it's not what's behind the drawer. The reality is it's about building anticipation for what is to come, which is Christmas, right? I can guarantee you that my kids are not going to get to Christmas Eve, the last drawer, number 24, and put out of there and say, oh, is this it, right? There is an anticipation for something far greater. And similarly, we've been doing this Advent journey in our church. For the last 3 weeks, we spoke on hope, and we spoke on peace, and we spoke on joy. And what it's been doing is it's been building an anticipation to the grand reveal. Because there's a difference over here, right? The reality is that hope and peace and joy are gifts that have been given to us. But all that has been doing is actually building an anticipation for the gift giver. And the last week that we find ourselves over here is finally there is a grand reveal of the identity of that gift giver. And that gift giver is love. And God is love. Right? And that's where we're going to focus this morning. The grand reveal that has been preparing our hearts in hope and peace and joy, all that's been is a preparation for the final identity of God. Love. God is love, and Jesus is love incarnate. Jesus is made in flesh, and that's where we're going to speak this morning, right? But before I get on over there, I was my sister's been visiting, and the last 10 days, I've been down sick. And it started off with something small, and now it's got something where I feel as though it's like it's been in my chest, it's been in my sinuses. So Ange, who is a teacher, sort of casually says to me, "So, are you ready for Sunday?" And this was on Friday, I think it was, or Thursday. So I think she was getting a bit nervous for me because she's seen like I've been manned down. And she's like, "Man, like, you know, are you going to be ready for Sunday?" And I said, "Ange, I'm not only ready for Sunday, I'm excited for Sunday. All right, I am so excited for what you are going to see this morning, right? Because I want to ask you." I want to start off with a question. Is how many of you want to experience the power of God in your life? How many of you want to live a life where you can live boldly and fearlessly? Right? And this isn't, you got to think about this. You got to understand what I'm asking. This isn't something that is, this is small. This is an activation of an ability to live in the stream and the power of God. And that's what I want to describe this morning. When we touch on the topic of love, that there is something that is going to release and propel you far more if there is a transformation of your understanding of how much God loves you. And in this week of preparation, there has just been an anticipation on my heart that each and every one of you are going to experience God's love, the depth, the width, the height, in a way that is so fresh, that gives you an understanding, that releases God's power in your life. Right, that's where I'm excited to be here today. So if I cough, ignore that, but if I preach, hold on to that. Come with me to Ephesians 3. So for some context on Ephesians, I want to touch on just some background there. I've moved past the point here that I got to do today, is because it's only by God's grace that I stand here this morning, seriously, this week particularly. So I just want to pray over today's word, and I want to pray over this congregation. Father God, I thank you that you love us. You don't just love us, you love us deeply. Lord, this morning, I thank you that we get to stand here and share in your word. Lord, I pray this morning that hearts that have been designed to receive your love will be filled and overflowing with the depth of your love this morning. Lord, I pray each person of here would have a renewed understanding of just how much you love them, and in there would be new light in their life. Lord, I pray that there would be a new release in their life. Let there be power that flows over each one here this morning. I pray for their ears. I pray for their eyes. Lord, I pray that your word and your word alone will be spoken here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so come with me to Ephesians. Now, just an overview of Ephesians. If you had a person who was going to receive a gift and they were in another room and the other person was unwrapping that gift for them, that's kind of what Paul's done in this letter to Ephesians. He's basically revealing Christ and the importance of Christ and who Christ is in our life. And this isn't some of Paul's letters are writing into crisis. This is not writing into crisis. This is writing a vision of what it means to have Christ in our life. So when you think about Christmas, this is Paul that has unwrapped the gift of Christ, and now he's explaining that gift to the Ephesians. And he's speaking unity to this group of Jews and Gentiles. And he brings it together, and he comes to this little nugget at the end. And this is where I want to start. So Ephesians 3, and we're going to pick up from verses 17, and we'll go all the way to 20. All right. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. There we go. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. All right. I need to speak about this, but as you start reading about love and this theme of love this morning, I'm gonna come back to many pieces that are spoken here, and ultimately what I'm going to do is I'm going to work back to this scripture here today. But just reading that, we need to speak about love. And what the world does is the world has confused and almost made love circular. They make a statement and they say, love is love. That doesn't make sense when you understand that there is a source of love and that love radiates from the source, right? And the world has distorted this view of love by making it circular. Love is love. And we need to come back to some fundamental principles here this morning that ultimately frame what love is. The fact that God is love, and the fact that love radiates from the source who is God, is ultimately we're going to focus. And when we understand that, we're going to come back to this message over here. So I got 3 points for you before we land over here. The first thing is that love is God's identity. Right? Addie? Next slide. Love is God's identity. Okay? When you understand that, if you look at the scriptures, the scriptures don't say God is loving. The scriptures don't say God loves sometimes. And the scriptures don't say when conditions are ideal, God will love. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. What that's saying is, it's not listing that love is one of God's attributes, of many attributes. It is defining who God is. God is love. And I'm going to come back to try and understand that because I've battled with that concept this week. But when you understand that God is love, you need to understand that love is involved and in every single thing that God does and God has done. God, love was in creation. Love was in every covenant. Love is in the plan of redemption, and love is in the incarnation of God, where love becomes flesh. Right? It's not something that is away from the very DNA and identity of who God is. And the part that I struggled with was this concept of saying that God is love. Because the reason I struggled is because sometimes what we do is we naturally defer to the characteristics of love. And 1 Corinthians covers that. But I want to speak first and foremost about the identity of God being love. And the best way I can describe it is in the same way that the sun in our solar system is light, and light radiates from the source, which is the sun, is the same way in which God is love, and all genuine love that we experience in this world radiates from God. Okay, what does that mean? And the best way I can describe it is using that. Thank you to my wife. I could tone back the reference of life, light, but that will come on Christmas Eve service. All right. So understand that God is the source of love, and everything radiates from the source. You can have imitations. You can have things that may, for example, a light bulb can perhaps imitate light, but ultimately we all know that in the context of our solar system, light, the sun is light. Light radiates from the sun. In a similar concept, God in the kingdom is love, and all genuine love radiates from him. So when we go into Advent and we speak about hope and we speak about peace and we speak about joy, what that's doing is it's emotionally and physically and spiritually preparing us to ultimately understand the identity of the giver of those gifts. We cannot understand or we cannot experience true hope, true peace, true joy without uncovering the identity of the source, which is ultimately love, who is God. Okay, so when you understand that, we understand that God doesn't just want to leave us with gifts. God wants us to know that the gift was him giving himself to us. And that's what Christmas is about. All right. Second point is, love is what Jesus reveals. All right. You need to understand, if God is love, then Jesus is love in the flesh. And is John 1:14. The Word was made flesh and it dwelled amongst us. What does that mean, that he dwelled amongst us? Because he dwells amongst us, all of a sudden, it's not something where we loved from a distance, but love gets to eat with sinners. Love gets to touch the untouchable. Love is able to speak grace with truth. And love is able to carry the cross for us. You see, a lot of the time what we think is that there's the separation between God and us. You've got in heaven and you've got here on earth. And we are, we speak this view that there is a separation, but that's not the truth. God doesn't love from a distance. Love, well, God loves us intimately. And when you understand that, what you start to realize is that this manger over here is not just a sweet story every year. This manger over here is revolutionary in the context of redemption and in the context of what God is doing in our life. What it's showing is that love has come close. What it's showing is that love has stepped into our chaos. And what it's showing is that love has taken on our limitations, taken on human limitations, to take on the burdens that we were destined to pay, but ultimately so that we may be free. A couple weeks ago, I focused on Isaiah 9. And I said to you that before you understand the prophecy of Isaiah 9, you have to understand the context of the first chapters in Isaiah. There was chaos and there was darkness. And in that chaos and that darkness, at the end of there, it speaks as though there was doom and gloom. But then you move on to Isaiah 9, and specifically in verses 2. Just bear with me here. Here we go. Chapter 9, verses 2. The people walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You understand that light is the image, but Jesus is the reality, right? We have this concept, and we use this idea of light as this image of what we experience, but Jesus is the reality. And you need to understand that when Jesus takes on, when God takes on flesh form in Jesus, that gift that we're given, that ability to step into our chaos, to step into our limitation, and to come close, all of a sudden you start to realize in your life where you may be experiencing darkness, the gift of Jesus means that there is light on those situations. If you understand the definition of darkness, it is the absence of light. And when you start to understand that by Jesus coming in to your situation, there is light in that. And through that, all of a sudden, your anxiety lifts. Your shame is broken. Hope arises. You get to experience peace and joy, and your life changes. Guys, if you do not comprehend what that means, we need to have a conversation, or I need to find another way to explain it to you. But you understand that the gift of love himself, God, comes down and takes on our limitations, steps into our chaos, and shines brightness into our darkness to give us access to freedom that only God can give. Man, come on, that is the best gift that you can possibly get for Christmas 2025, is a deep, deep understanding of what God has done through that manger. It's not just a soft story. It is a revolution. It is rechanges the way that you think about this. And we come to our third point, that love is what you and I reflect. Love is what we reflect. I had this question this week. As I go through these, I've always got questions for myself. I always love doing this because it challenges the way that I think about things. And I had this question to myself. I said, well, if God is love and God is the source of love, how is it that everyone has the ability to love? Like, how can non-Christians have the ability to love if they are not, if they don't know who God is? And the answer is pretty sweet. Because each and every human that walks the face of this earth is made in God's image. Every single human that walks the face of this earth has the ability to love. And that's why you'll find people who are not Christians can love their spouse, they can love their children, they can love for the poor, they can show compassion, they can show these attributes. But the reality is that knowing about love is not the same as understanding the source. When you understand the source, you're able to meet the ability to love with the supernatural capacity to do the same. And this year is essentially what Paul is speaking about in this space of a year, is that he just wishes you could just grasp, clutch the concept, which is not a thinking, but it's a heartfelt just transformation in the understanding of what God's done for you. That he pursued you, that he poured out grace on you, that he shone light in darkness. Those are the things that he has done for you so that he may have a relationship with you. And when you understand that, when you grasp that, and you use that and you root it, over here Paul speaks of, here we go. This is in verse 17. That you've been rooted, this is going down deep into the ground, that you've got strong roots that hold you in the faith of understanding of the love that God has for you, and grounded, that you can stand firmly on it, things start to change. Things start to change in how you love and how that understanding works. And then it goes on over here and it says that you may comprehend, 18, you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth. It doesn't give a reference to what those measurements are. It just speaks those words of measurement. When you understand the breadth of how much God loves each and every one of you, the breadth, as far as the universe stretches and continues to stretch, it's more. And you understand the height all the way from heaven down to the depths of the ground. That reference over there is how much he loves you. And if you consider the length, that he loved you before you were even knitted in your mother's womb, before the foundations of this earth were formed, that length, that far back over there, he loves you. And all the ways into eternity, I'm not going to walk all that way, he loves you. And my kids have got the same reference. They always ask me, Dad, like, how much? And I always say, it's this much. And God loves you this much even more. And that's what he's trying to comprehend. There's no reference to what that is, but he's trying to say it's all encompassing in your life that he loves you. That he loves you so intimately that I say it, even if it was just for you, he would have sent his son into that manger so that you may live, so that you may have a relationship with God. God, love himself, and that love is poured out onto you. And I could do that for each and every one of you. And when you understand that, there is access to power. Not power the way the world understands, but power through God. God's power. And you know what that means when you experience the fullness of God's love? That perfect love is that there's no fear. 1 John 4:18 says, in perfect love, there is no fear. How many of you live anxiously about what tomorrow could hold? How many of you have got some burden or some worry that you carry? How many of you want to walk fearlessly into tomorrow? How many of you want to be free today, not to worry, but to walk boldly according to the purpose that is upon your life? When you start connecting those things and you are rooted in that understanding and you're grounded in that understanding and you grasp that concept, there's a transformation in your heart that opens your heart to the access of God's love. And he loves each and every one of you despite your circumstance. And you might say, God, why do I find myself in this situation? How is it that you say that you love me, and yet I find myself in the depths of pain, In the depths of anxiety, in the depths of fear, we live in a broken world and I don't have an answer for you. But I can tell you, with faith, mountains can be moved. With faith, that understanding goes from your head to a heart transformation. And you have access to that. And that is the gift of Christmas. When we find ourselves having that understanding, and we know that we reflect the image of God, what we start to do is we start to polish that mirror that we reflect. That image bearer, we are like mirrors. And everybody's got the ability. Yeah, you know, early morning on my side of the mirror is usually dirtier than Mel's. You can look through there and I can kind of see myself. Mel's is clean. You can look over there, it's crystal clear. Right? And the similar way in which we are image bearers, we are like mirrors that have the ability to reflect the love and light of God. And as we step closer in faith, so we polish up those mirrors. And when we polish up those mirrors, those have the ability and the capacity to reflect the full light and the full love of God onto this world. What that means is that you have a deeper capacity to forgive, a deeper capacity to love with compassion. And then you can go and look in 1 Corinthians 13 about what love is. That it's slow to anger. I wasn't slow to anger this week. I can tell you, I had to go back and polish up that mirror. All of those, we can be those image bearers. And we have this capacity because we understand the source. And when we are connected to the source, we are charged to love. And in that, we can live a life fearlessly and boldly. So where I want to leave you this morning is that, yes, we can prepare for Christmas. And I know that everybody is walking the shops to find the perfect gift, or they're scanning Amazon to find the perfect gift wrapped, make sure it's delivered before Christmas. But the reality is, guys, that there is a bigger thing at play. All of that is symbolic for the true gift, and the true gift was Jesus. And you need to understand that behind every gift, behind every promise of God, behind every blessing of God is love. And His name is Jesus. It's a bit of a delay in the electricity over here. So anyway, guys, I want to leave you with this point for Christmas. We cannot miss the big picture of what Christmas is about. And often what we find ourselves is we find ourselves rushing and we find ourselves in a line to find the perfect gift. And what God wants us to do is be still and just comprehend and be rooted and grounded to grasp the concept of His love, the identity of the gift giver. As we open up those drawers and the anticipation builds, you need to know that there is a God that loves you immensely. And when you understand that God who loves you with the depth and the breadth and the length and the height in the way that He does, I want to tell you the perfect gift that we can have this Christmas is that we don't have to worry. We don't have to carry shame, but we can live with hope. We can experience true peace. We can embrace joy in a fresh and an abundant way because you know that there is a Father in heaven who loves you immensely. I'm going to invite the band to come up. You know what my prayer was for each of you this week? That each and every one of you would be able to experience God's love in a different way this morning. As we finish up Advent and we understand the identity of the gift giver, the identity of God being love and Jesus taking on that flesh, that you, through faith, could grasp just how much He loves you. just how much he loves you this morning, it'll change your life. And it's the best gift you could ever have. You understand the concept of spiritual boldness. How many of you want to be spiritually bold? I'm assuming those who put their hand down didn't necessarily hear the question. How many of you want to be spiritually bold and live fearlessly? How many of you want to experience the warmth and fullness of God's love? And I'm telling you, it is available. I'm telling you, it is available by faith. So my question this morning is, maybe you need to experience and meet Jesus for the first time, who wants to step and be intimate. He wants to step into your chaos. He wants to resonate and understand your limitations, because he sees something more for you. Or maybe you've lived a life where you've been close with God all your life, but perhaps today is one step more for a deeper, more profound understanding of who God is and the love that he has for you. Because I'm telling you that there is an access to a power this morning that is going to transcend human understanding. People are going to look at your circumstance and they're going to be saying, how is it that you can be at peace and experience joy and have so much hope in the midst of what we see as darkness? And you can say to them, because I am walking with light himself. I am walking with love himself. And that is the power that is available this morning.